Welcome to the Rent Estate Podcast, a conversation on how you can achieve retirement security, financial freedom, and the new American dream through rental property investments. And here's your host, Kevin Ortner, CEO of Renters Warehouse.
All right, welcome to the Rent Estate Podcast, where we talk all things real estate investing and particularly single family rental property investment strategies. I'm your host, Kevin Ortner, CEO of Renters Warehouse. And at Renters Warehouse, we're one of the nation's largest single-family rental property managers, helping our clients achieve financial freedom through real estate. So today's episode is part of our Corner to Corner series, where we're having conversations with talented leaders from Renters Warehouse across the country and diving into specific characteristics of their particular market, what makes that market unique, local market trends, and other investment tips. So Kirby Richard is joining us today. Kirby's our market leader in Colorado, based in Denver, and really excited to talk with him today. There's been fascinating things happening in Colorado over the past many years. So Kirby, welcome to the show.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
And before we jump in and start talking about Denver and, you know, other markets, maybe in Colorado specifically, why don't you give the listeners just a little more information about yourself and your background?
Sure. So I'm the managing broker here for our Denver office. I've been in the SFR property management space for a little over 10 years now, and I've been in the Denver community for a little over five. Started my journey in Southwest Florida, worked for a property management company through college, and was connected to a lot of like high profile investors in that community that were doing a lot of really, really cool things with real estate. And that's where I was introduced to the concept of real estate investing and how it can help ordinary people really start to build wealth. So love what we do, and really appreciate you having me on the podcast.
Yeah, it's been great having you part of the team at Renters Warehouse, and moving out to Colorado from Florida for that. So you were working in property management in college, you mentioned. So did you go to college for real estate, or what piqued your interest in getting in the real estate world?
I went to college for economics, and I love economics. I think it helps people like really understand broad concepts well, which I think is important. But growing up in Southwest Florida, the market was really, it's kind of a hot market for real estate, and kind of always has been, especially coming out of the foreclosure crisis. Tons and tons of properties that went to auction were foreclosed on. So huge opportunity for those people who saw that happening. So we bought properties for pennies on the dollar, you know, from auction, rehab them, put tenants into the properties, held them, you know, for either hedge funds or some investors that we worked with for 5, 6, 7 years, and then saw them sell these for 200-300% profits, which was awesome. But, you know, just growing up in Southwest Florida, it's a very attractive place for people to live. And there wasn't a ton of industry there beyond real estate or hospitality. So I guess I had limited options, but, like I said, saw the power of real estate investing and how it can help ordinary people really start to accumulate wealth. That was very apparent in Southwest Florida growing up. So I think that's really what attracted me to it while it was my college years.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. So grew up in Southwest Florida, live in Colorado now. That's a big difference, right? Going from the ocean to the mountains. What do you prefer?
You know, Southwest Florida is kind of a quiet little town. Don't want to say anything bad about it, because it's definitely some people's cup of tea. But being a, you know, young 20-something looking for stuff to do, an active lifestyle, Colorado really has that. And that's something that's very attractive for people that are moving here to Colorado, is this proximity to outdoors. We get over 300 days of sunshine every year. I grew up in the Sunshine State in Florida, which is kind of funny because Colorado, I think, gets more average days of sunshine than Southwest Florida or Florida in general does.
Oh, that's funny.
So it is kind of funny. But a lot of sun here, huge like outdoor oriented city. So if you like to hike or bike or go skiing or camping or any of those things, Colorado is definitely more appealing. Denver in particular has a really vibrant music scene. And it's not an overwhelmingly large city either. So I like to say it's a nice medium-sized city where there's enough to do, but it's not too much. So that's what attracted me to Colorado. And I think that's the same reason a lot of people are moving here. They love this proximity to the outdoors and the active lifestyle that you get here in Denver.
Yeah, that's a great point. So a lot of inbound migration into Colorado, and I think Denver specifically, right? A lot of people moving there for all of the reasons you just mentioned. And I think that creates good opportunity for investors, right? So that's a great transition into a little bit of the topic for today of, you know, you've been in Denver, how many years now you've been in Denver? I forget.
A little over five.
5 years. That's what I was thinking. You've been in Denver 5 years. You've seen, you know, a lot of things happen over the last 5 years in Denver, and different trends in real estate, and COVID certainly played a role in where people are moving and things like that. But, you know, what would you tell, you know, the real estate investor that's listening here, what makes Denver or, you know, some of the other markets you're involved in Colorado as well, a good opportunity for investors?
Well, first, I would say Denver in general, we're a city of about 3 million residents, and we've had steady population growth over the last 10 to 15 years. So if you take a look at net migration trends, we're up to the right pretty much every single year. That's started to slow a little bit, but it hasn't stopped. I mean, we're still forecasted out. I think I looked at some economic development stuff to grow about 1% a year over the next 5 or 10 years. So you can count on a consistent and steady growth here in Denver. In addition to that, we have a very robust economy with a lot of diverse employment. There's not any one sector here where, hey, if this sector does bad, you know, a lot of people are going to be facing income struggles and aren't going to be able to pay their rent. We have a lot of industry here, super diverse. So huge healthcare industry, a lot of aviation and aerospace. We have technology and telecom, very large military presence here. And then energy and education are a couple of our other major industries. So if you're looking at it from an investment standpoint, we have a lot of people, we have pretty good paying jobs, and very diverse employment. So those are all attractive things for investors.
Yeah. And all those people that are living, working, and moving to Colorado need a place to live, right? And not all of them are buying. So let's talk a little bit about what you've been seeing over the last, you know, say probably starting maybe a few years ago, last couple of years, price trends, but maybe the last even, you know, 6 to 9 months. There's been a lot of talk in the national news about home prices, right? Are they stagnant? Are they going up, down? And the national, you know, kind of narrative is there's not a lot of appreciation happening. I think you have to get very local in these conversations because there's some markets that are still growing and some that are correcting from their kind of COVID boom. And the same thing with rent stories. So what are you seeing in Denver with home price appreciation the last couple of years and more recently, as well as rent growth?
Yeah, so obviously I had a big run up during the pandemic. Home prices and rent prices kind of, I don't want to say they went through the roof because there were other cities that definitely experienced more appreciation on both fronts than we did. But we did experience a lot of home price growth and rent price growth coming out of the pandemic. Now, I like to say in the last like 6 months or so, I like to say that we've seen a return to normalcy. And normal in Denver is a seasonal market. In the summer, prices go up and then they kind of taper off a little bit in the colder winter months. That's what we're starting to see again. So you see these month over month declines in prices that are small right now. But year over year, the trend is still up and to the right for home prices and for rent prices. I think that the last 2 years were maybe pull ahead years for some price appreciation and rent appreciation. So I think that for the coming months, it might be slightly slower than we've seen in the last 2 years. But again, we're still experiencing this net inbound migration. Renting or buying a single family home is still hard for people. There's just not enough inventory. And we're still, we have great jobs. People are employed. So they're making good money here. So people want to buy a house. People want to move to Denver. And that's helping keep our prices stable. So I think Denver has been a stable market through this kind of volatile couple of years that we've been experiencing.
Yeah, it's been an interesting couple of years for sure. And I think as a real estate investor, as you're exploring and looking at new markets, it's just so important to dive into this data because a lot of the information and the data that we look at or that's put out there is, you know, at a national level or a regional level. And getting hyper-local with that will help you understand if a particular market's maybe going to fit into your investment strategy you know, in the future? For are you investing for cash flow? Are you investing for long-term housing appreciation, or both, or you know what that might be? And so that's pretty fascinating. What is, you know, what's the typical investor look like today in Denver that you work with? You know, is it someone who's new coming into the market, someone who's been around for a while? You know, they have a portfolio, a small portfolio of homes, one home. Kind of tell us about your typical customer day in Denver.
Sure. Being that Denver is a rather expensive city, we see a lot of house hackers. So a lot of people similar to your start, you know, buying these small multifamily properties, living in half, renting the other half, and trying to save a few bucks until they can get into maybe a single family home, a move up home, so to speak.
Sure.
So there's a fair amount of investors that have either house hacked their way into these properties or have owned properties for a while, and they need to move up because they're, you know, expanding their family size, or they want to move to a nicer neighborhood, but they don't want to let go of their property because they know that they can get pretty good rent compared to what they bought it for maybe 2 years ago.
Right.
So there's a lot of that. The opportunities today seem to be more value add opportunities. If you can find some of these maybe off-market opportunities and do a little value add, you can get kind of a decent deal right now on properties because the interest rates are high. So buyers have a little more negotiating power in this market. So if you're comfortable doing a little value add, you can find some properties that you can put a little work into and maybe get a slightly better return on those. And then the other area where we've seen people still investing is new construction. Builders have a ton of incentives right now, and new construction properties make great rentals because you typically don't have a lot of leaky toilets or faucets or maintenance that you have to deal with or replace the roof or all of that. So if you can find these pockets where new developments are going in, you know, these developers like Lennar and Pulte and Richmond have done their research. They're building houses where people want to live. So if you have a longer time frame and you can hold on to the property for 5-10 years or longer, I think some of these new construction opportunities are presenting decent investment options for people that still want to remain active and invest in real estate right now.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. And we should hone in on that a little bit. This new construction kind of trend, new construction into, you know, long-term rental property trend, which is, you know, it's been going on a little bit for a long time, but it's certainly become in the spotlight over the last couple of years. And some of the larger institutional funds have been buying whole neighborhoods and communities of newer build homes. But that opportunity exists for the retail and smaller investor as well. And probably a great opportunity, as you mentioned today, because builders are offering incentives, whether that's price incentives, upgrade incentives. And a lot of times you're finding you can get a lower mortgage rate, right? Through the builder's lender or mortgage company, keeping your monthly costs down, at least for the first several years. And these properties generally rent for a premium price. So that's interesting that you're seeing that in Denver. And again, if you're holding it long-term, like we always try and help people do here at Renter's Warehouse, to hold this property for 10, 15, 20 or more years and have it paid off, that new construction is such a neat tool, because you are going to have, as you mentioned, those lower maintenance costs for the first several years. All the systems are new. The roof is new. Lower capital expenditures going into the property, and just kind of more of a smooth running property. So if, you know, on that note, if a investor, you know, wants to move into the Denver market, maybe they don't have any houses in Denver yet, maybe they have a portfolio somewhere else, or this is going to be their first foray into real estate investing because they've read our book and they've listened to the podcast and they understand this is a great way to diversify their, you know, their savings and investments. What would be your advice to a new investor in Denver? What I mean by that is, you know, what neighborhoods or areas should they be looking to buy their, you know, first investment property in Denver? What type of home, right? Size, bedrooms, bathrooms, that type of thing. If you were going to direct someone to, you know, a great first investment, what would your advice be?
You know, I think it depends a little bit on the investor's strategy and some other factors like how much cash we have to invest. The urban core of Denver gets quite expensive. So if you're working with a lower budget, going to some of our tertiary markets, maybe outside of the urban core for newer construction opportunities could be a good strategy, where you can still get prices below the average home price in Denver, which I think Redfin right now is pegged at about 600,000. So fairly expensive to get a single family home in the metro area. But if you head to some of our tertiary markets, there's some good new construction opportunities there. Generally, what I tell people is on the west side of Denver, you have the mountains, and everybody loves the mountains. That's what we all moved here for. Right. So properties on the west side tend to be more in demand, more expensive. The rents are higher. The home prices are higher. And the communities have been there for a long time. As you head to the east side of town, the properties get less expensive. It doesn't mean that it's a bad neighborhood or anything like that. It's just not as demanded as the west side of town. So if you have investors that maybe have a lower budget heading over to the east side of town, there's still some great areas where you can find good opportunities on the east side for a little bit less money. Definitely not $600,000. Maybe closer to the 400 range over there. So again, you know, budget and strategy is going to be two really big influential things. If you want to do more of a passive annual type of rental, you're going to have a little extra cash to put down on the properties right now, given the interest rate environment. But you know, that's where I would say, what's your budget? How much cash do you have to put down on a property? And then we can kind of go into some neighborhoods where we might be able to get you a property that's producing some sort of return for you. If you are comfortable going, you know, short-term and mid-term rentals, which have been very, very popular strategies here to kind of get extra cash flow out of your property, then you can look at some of these more appealing options that might be in more highly demanded neighborhoods that might be more expensive as well. But given the demand for them, you can get away with doing short-term rentals or mid-term rentals and getting a higher cash flow to help make that investment more appealing for you.
So it sounds like the west side of town, west side of Denver, is more in more high demand. You mentioned it's closer to the mountains, and that's what people are moving to Denver for. What do you see as the typical home, price aside, maybe rent aside, but what's that, you know, kind of that typical house people are looking for when they're moving there? You know, is it a family moving in, so it's a 3-4 bedroom type home, or is it a young professional couple and it's condos, or, you know, what type of properties are the most popular for tenants?
So the 3-bedroom, 4-bedroom, 2-bath, 3-bath properties that are in good condition tend to receive the most demand. That's a really big factor to consider. We have a lot of young people with high paying jobs here. They have good credit scores and they can get approved for a lot of different properties. So they're looking for homes that are well maintained. You don't necessarily have to have, you know, all of the bells and whistles in your property, but they definitely are looking for homes that are in good condition, that aren't going to be a hassle to live with, so to speak. So if you have good condition homes, the 3 or 4 bedrooms seems to be a sweet spot. And another big thing, it seems like Denver must be the most pet friendly city in the nation. I would say 60 to 70% of the folks renting from us have pets of some kind. So having a yard is something that people love. So if you have a single family home with a yard and you're pet friendly, you're really going to capitalize on the tenant demand here. I would advise staying away from condos that are in the city area. Over the last few years, we've had a ton of new Class A multifamily, you know, apartments built that have incredible amenities, you know, pools, fitness facilities, you know, dog walking areas, you name it. There's some really, really awesome Class A apartment buildings that have come online in the last 2 years. So I tend to tell people to stay away from investing in the city just because there's so many units and the apartments are running, you know, specials like $100 security deposit, first month of rent for free. It makes it hard for small landlords with, you know, a condo or a townhome in the city to compete on the same level, especially when you lack the same quality of amenities that these new buildings have. People moving to the city love their pools and their fitness facilities and all that stuff. So I would definitely advise people looking for investment properties to kind of look for these single family or small multifamily properties with yards, because then you can capitalize on these folks that have pets and really want a space for their pet to belong to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Two good takeaways there. One, I think the repetitive theme we hear across, you know, all the markets as we do this corner to corner series, and the advice I give people as well is like the 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 4-bedroom two or three bath home with a garage, like that's always a safe bet, right? If you're in the right neighborhood and you get it for the right price and you do your research. But that home is kind of the bread and butter of single family rental, right? It's for that family that wants more space, moving out of a condo. And they just seem to be, you know, high demand properties. There's a lot of investors who own 2-bedroom homes, 5 or 6 bedroom homes, but you start to kind of reduce the number of people who might be looking for that type of property. So interesting that the same trend survives there. The pet piece is interesting. So being a pet friendly landlord in Denver is probably very important. And then the other takeaway, which I hadn't really thought about, and it's probably a great nugget for our listeners to take away, is all of the you know, Class A apartments and luxury, you know, apartment buildings that are going up in not only Denver, but other, you know, large cities across the country with those amenities you're talking about, right? That was a big push to bring people back into the city. It started happening before the pandemic, but certainly afterwards is how do we, you know, fill up our buildings and, you know, concierge service and dry cleaning service and the pools and all of the things you talked about, very challenging to compete with if you own a older condo, right? It could be a really beautiful condo building and a nice condo, but if it lacks those amenities, tough to compete with that apartment.
Yeah, you nailed it. Some of these new apartment buildings, the level of amenities that you get it's crazy what you can get. And people love being in the city, but still a lot of remote work here. Just having a lot of friends in the community and a very diverse group of friends with very diverse employers. There's still a lot of work from home going on. So people like to have a little extra space, maybe a home office or somewhere where they can still work out of their house. If it's not full-time, it's part-time. I know like Lockheed Martin is a huge employer here, and they have a very flexible policy for their employees. They like their employees. So like those employees get a couple work from home days every single month. So, you know, having a little extra space plus, you know, the backyard for Vito, that's going to be important to people. That's going to help you remain competitive in our market.
Right. Right. All right. So take us through your process. If a new client gives you a call, and they are interested in buying somewhere in Denver. You talked a little bit about, hey, you know, what's your budget and all that kind of stuff. But how do you and your team work with a new investor that's looking to invest? Like, just kind of walk us through the process, the information you like to know, and once you identify maybe that budget, the price range, the plan, like what happens next?
If we've talked about budget, we've talked about your price range. Zeroing in on strategy is super important. Do you want an annual rental? Are you okay maybe doing a little more work with your property to get some midterm or shorter term renters in there? So understanding their strategy is important. Understanding what type of investments that they've handled in the past. This is your first real estate investment. Do you have experience investing in real estate? Are you comfortable doing a little bit of work to the property, or do you want this to be more passive type of experience for you? And then we're going to direct you to the types of properties that we think are going to be ideal for you. We'll set you up with an auto search in the MLS. Might take you to some new communities where there's new construction, so you can see different options. New construction might be something that they're interested in. Showing them those options. For those investors who are interested in maybe doing a little value add to properties, we have some relationships with wholesalers here. We also have clients who have been with us under management for several years that decide that, you know, it's their time to sell for whatever reason. So we do have some access to off-market opportunities. Maybe not new construction, maybe not, you know, an easy investment. Might need a little more elbow grease on some of these properties, but I think that's where you can get a nice little equity bump and maybe find something that's cash flowing even in the high interest rate environment. So after we talk about budget and plan, we're going to start sending you different options for you to look at, take you out to see some properties, and then hopefully get you under a contract on something that you're looking for. It's nice working with a property manager and real estate broker, because if you're working with us on the purchase, we're giving you rental numbers and we're not going to inflate those numbers. Whereas if you're working with a real estate agent that just does buy-sell, their incentive is to do the buy-sell transaction and then a lot of times they're out of the picture after that. We're with you through the entire course of your investment. So if we tell you that the home is going to rent for $3,000, we want to make sure we can hang our hat on that. And when time comes to list the property, we're not calling you 2 weeks later saying, hey, it's actually $2,800. So this is where working with a property management brokerage company can really be helpful for investors, make sure they're really getting accurate rental pricing and that those numbers aren't inflated by somebody else who has an incentive to sell you a house.
Right. So important, right? Working with the right team. Real estate investing is for sure something that you can do on your own, and you can kind of assemble the right people to be on your team, and having the team, I always say, is the most important. But if you can find someone who's going to be your advisor by your side through the whole process, there's more accountability through the entire process and a little bit more know-how on how the entire process works, rather than maybe a traditional realtor who just helps clients buy houses, doesn't know the rental market as well. Not quoting the rent might be an honest mistake because they're just not sure. So being able to make sure you have that right set of advisors, and Kirby, your team in Denver, can certainly help people with that. And you don't just help new investors, right? You are out there helping people who currently own properties and are either with a property management situation that they're not happy with, and transferring those homes to under your purview, or people who used to do it themselves and are finding that they just don't have the time for it. So you guys can help them there as well. So we appreciate what you're doing in Denver. I think this has been really insightful for people who are thinking about where is another market that I can go and invest in. And I think Denver is going to provide people over the long term with great housing price appreciation. If history is any tell, what's going to happen in the future, that's going to continue to happen in Denver. You got a lot of inbound migration, great jobs, a lot of the things that we talk about across many of the markets that Renters Warehouse is in. And this has been great. So thanks for joining us. Any final thoughts or words for current or new real estate investors looking at Denver?
Just a word of advice. There have been a lot of legislative changes coming to Denver, and we have a lot of municipalities. Growing up in Southwest Florida, you were in Collier County or Lee County, it was very easy. I think we have 5 or 6 counties here in Denver, and probably twice that in smaller cities and municipalities, and they all have their own regulations. So with the increase in the amount of legislation, if you're thinking about investing in Denver, or maybe you've been a landlord in Denver for a while now, the changes are significant. And having a good property management team that's up to speed on the legislative changes, the new laws, and the rules that we have to abide by is going to be a huge help for people. So we definitely pride ourselves in keeping our finger on the pulse there with legislation, making sure that our policies and our homeowners are all in line with the local legislation. And it's complicated to keep track of. So if anybody has questions about how we're dealing with some of these legislative changes, or want some advice on what to do with their property, or how to handle a difficult situation, we're always here to help with that. But otherwise, I love Denver. It's a great city. And like you said, I think we're going to continue to see net inbound migration and home price and rent price growth. So I think it's an awesome city and great place to invest.
That's great. Well, like I said, we appreciate you being part of the Renters Warehouse team. You've done great things for us in Denver there. And it's a great market. It's a different market than a lot of other places across the country. Very high average rents, but that couples with a higher than normal being national average, home price to get into. But there's a lot of deals there, a lot of deals that can work, even today with interest rates being high. A lot of people are thinking it's more challenging, and it is more challenging, but there's still deals that pencil. It just takes a little more work, those local contacts. And I think that's where our team in Denver can certainly help people out, is we've got connections with wholesalers, as you mentioned, on-market properties, off-market properties, relationships with builders, relationships with contractors to do some of that value add work if needed, those types of things, and a great team. So if someone wants to reach you or find your team, what's the best way for them to do that?
You can always send me an email. My email is krichard@renterswarehouse.com. Or you can go to renterswarehouse.com. We have our team page, our Denver team page. So my contact info is there, along with all the agents on my team. I've got a great group of guys here that really we have agents that cover really the whole metro area. It's a big area and kind of local experts in each one of the suburbs here. So if we can be of any assistance with managing or buying or selling properties, feel free to give us a call.
Great. Well, we appreciate that. And thank you, everyone, for listening and always showing up for the Rent Estate podcast, and particularly this series, Corner to Corner. If you want more information on Renters Warehouse, as Kirby just mentioned, check us out at renterswarehouse.com. If you are new to real estate investing, we wrote a book called Rent Estate Revolution. And that book really takes you through the process of building that plan, the benefits of investing in real estate long-term, and really how to do it right and build that team. You can check that out at rentestaterevolution.com. You can also pick up your copy at Amazon. And if you're enjoying the podcast and enjoying the series, be sure to like and subscribe and leave us a review. We love that. That really helps us get the show up in front of other people who are interested in this topic. So we appreciate the support of the podcast. And Kirby, we appreciate you giving us some of your time this afternoon and taking the listeners through Denver.
Anytime. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to the Rent Estate Podcast with your host, Kevin Ortner. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to rentestate.com for a free rental property analysis and learn how you can list, invest, and rent all under one roof.